Going all the way back to the time of the apostles, and from that time of the biblical period all the way through the fathers of the church, in the very earliest time of the church, all the way until the present day, there are two types of homilies that can be delivered. One is exhortational homily, and the other is an instructional homily. And those are fairly consistent throughout the history of the Catholic Church. An exhortational homily is aimed at the will and the emotions. It tries to motivate you to live the teachings of Christ. In moral exhortational preaching, we attempt to move you, move your heart, your emotions, your will, to a love for good and the pursuit of good as you seek to live out the Catholic life, a very important kind of preaching. And then there's the other kind, which is instructional. Instruction, preaching that is instruction, is more doctrinal. It's aimed more at instructing the mind about the teaching of Christ and what we believe as Catholics, how we understand the faith. And that form of preaching has also been present throughout the history of the church. Both are there. Now, today, exhortational preaching is more popular because we feel it more. We love when we receive a homily that is emotional, it moves us, we get pumped up, we're ready to go out there and lay our lives down because we experienced it in our heart, in our feeling, in our will. We're motivated. On the other hand, a doctrinal homily has become less prevalent. You don't find that as much because it's not as popular. One of the reasons being that it's appealing more to your mind. And a lot of times when someone might attempt to preach a doctrinal homily, we just say, well, that's kind of heady, it's unrelated to life, it's not real, it's not that important. It was kind of a dud. And as a result, you don't get a whole lot of doctrinal preaching today. And it's unfortunate because it so happens that 7 in 10 Catholics don't believe one of the central doctrines of the Catholic Church, which is that Jesus is really, truly present on our altar. That's a doctrine, that's a teaching of the church. And we need to have both kinds of preaching, exhortation and also instruction. Because without instruction, our minds can become left out of our discipleship. We need to know our faith and not just feel the truth of our faith and motivated to live it. We also need to know our faith and be instructed in the faith in our minds so that we can allow that faith to guide our actions, guide our behavior. Not to have your mind in your Catholic life is something like a man or a woman that mounts a horse, but who has cut their head off. Now think of what that's like. The horse has got a lot of energy and power. It can go really fast, but where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going to end up? It's hard to say. There's no head there. There's no guiding system for this horse. And see, that's what happens when we don't keep our minds in our Catholic life. One of the ways that we relate to the mind today, I've heard this said before, I'm not very fond of this saying, but it is one that I've heard before. The longest journey you'll ever make is from here down to here. As though when I get down here, I've left my mind behind. There is a creed in the culture, however, that really does help you and I become men and women who have mounted our horse but cut our heads off. And that creed, quite simply, is just do it. That's the creed of the world today. Just do it. That will form you into becoming a man or woman on the horse, yes, but you've cut your head off, because the church comes on the scene and says, well, now, wait a minute, do what? Ah, there you go again. You're getting all heady and just unrelated to life. Will you just get in there and do it? And when you do it, get passionate about it and get your emotions going in it and just get alive and be alive and do it. All right, I'd love to join you, but, and here's the church again, do what? What is it you want me to get all excited about? Ah, you're just thinking about it too much. And see, that's the creed of the world. Just do it. And what's happening is, maybe we start with a mild walk. You're on the horse, it's just kind of going along, and you're just walking along, and all of a sudden it gets up into a gallop. Before you know it, it's full stride run, and you're going right into the bridal chamber outside of marriage. And what can you do? The most authentic thing you can do at that point is just do it. How are you going to stop the horses at full gallop? And how did the horses get so riled up in the first place? If we'd had the guidance system there, maybe we wouldn't have. But the church would like to say, okay, let's calm down a little bit here. What are we doing? What are we up to? What are you about? Okay, now we're talking about getting our mind into this discipleship. And it may even be possible that we have two men headed for the bridal chamber. The horses are in full gallop, and the church will stand there at the doorstep to that bridal chamber and say, you know, you really don't want to do this, but the horses are at full gallop. How are you going to stop them? We have to do this. It's the only authentic thing we have. And they'll look at us and, boy, you are so out of touch with reality. You're just all heady. And we cut our heads off. And just do it. This is where we are today, brothers and sisters. We need a guidance system. It's not bad to have emotions and feelings. And in fact, we need both head and heart to God, not one or the other. When Jesus was asked, what is the first and greatest commandment? Remember what he responded? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Heart and mind. He didn't leave the mind out. We've got to love the Lord with our whole selves. And see, the mind without Christ is an echo chamber. There's just this, I'm just listening to myself all the time, and I'm just in my head, and I'm stuck. The mind needs to be opened out to the divine through faith. And then the divine light of Christ gets in there and starts to form you. And St. Paul calls that the renewal of the mind. We need to get ourselves onto right thinking about the faith. And 9 times out of 10, when something disastrous happens, maybe we get ourselves into a hole or a pit, we might say, I didn't know. I didn't know. How was I to know that that wasn't what I was supposed to do? We're adults. We're responsible for our faith before Christ. If I don't know, I am responsible to find out. But a lot of times what's happening today is we don't want to hear it. And yet here comes this dark cloud in the Transfiguration, and from that cloud comes this voice that says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Receive his instruction. Let yourself be instructed by my Son." We need to hear. Faith comes through hearing. Romans 10, verse 17. And that begins to transform the mind. And we come to know our faith. And I think we've all heard it, or maybe we've seen it on TV, in the political theater. It's not infrequent when these politicians or someone's brought before Congress, they're asked all these questions and they say, I didn't know. I didn't know. And okay, you didn't know, so I guess you're not responsible. But everybody says, "I didn't know," and so no one's responsible, and all these bad things keep happening, and we don't know why, we don't know who did it, because no one knows. It's kind of convenient when we don't know. But see, we can't approach the Catholic life that way. I am not responsible for what I don't know. But as an adult in the Catholic life, I'm responsible to know the Catholic faith. That's on me. Because let's be honest, we could preach exhortational homilies here until, you know, every Sunday, and a lot of times that's what they end up being, and those aren't bad. They're important. We have to move the will. We have to move the emotions. Yes. But if when you leave this church, you go out the door, mount your horse with your head cut off, where are you going? Where will you be by the end of the week? Because the emotions will only last so long, and then you've got to come back and get a refresher, and we've got to do it again. When do you get in there? When do you start to get in there? When your mind becomes renewed, and you start to learn the teaching, and you have a guidance system as you're riding that horse. Archetypally, and in the literature, the horse is a symbol of Eros, and we've got a lot of Eros in our culture today. And that's got a lot of energy, it's a lot of power, it's speed, a lot of movement and motion. But without a head on the driver, there's no guidance system. Having passions and emotions is not evil. We've been created with them. But it all needs to be guided, all that energy and passion and emotion. Otherwise, we just end up following the world's creed. Just do it. No matter what it is. Get your Nikes on. And if you can afford it, buy yourself athletic wear and get in there and do it. Brothers and sisters, the voice from the cloud says today, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." There's something so beautiful about the passions and the emotions of a man and a woman coming together in the covenant of marriage till death do you part. That love between a man and a woman is so real that in 9 months you're going to give it a name. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But it takes a guidance system to get there. And it's the teaching of Christ that gets us there. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing. We're not saying that's bad, but we do need to get our heads on our shoulders as we mount that horse. So today I exhort you and also instruct you, we do need to know our faith. Because as the cloud came over them, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. listen to him.